Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball, John Russell, and Anna Mateo. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and Katie Weaver will bring us this week's Personal Technology Report. But first, Ashley brings us the latest news in United States politics.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump now says he believes Russia was involved in cyber attacks during the presidential election. It was the first time Trump has admitted Russian involvement in hacking computers of the Democratic National Committee. In the past, he refused to publicly accept U.S. intelligence community findings that Russia was involved in election hacking. Trump's comments came Wednesday during his first press conference since the election. "As far as hacking, I think it was Russia," Trump said. Top U.S. intelligence officials have said they believe Russian President Vladimir Putin knew about and approved the cyber attacks. U.S. intelligence agencies have suggested that Putin might have engaged in hacking as a way to help Trump win the election. Much of the information released by the hacks turned out to be embarrassing to the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. But Trump said the Republican National Committee also became aware of attempts to hack into its organization. He said possible attacks were stopped by putting security measures in place. Speaking about future relations with Russia, Trump told reporters he does not think it is a bad thing if Putin actually likes him.
If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability.
Trump added that cyber attacks from outside the United States were not only coming from Russia. He said China is also involved, along with other nations. Trump said he has asked his top national security officials to complete, within 90 days, a major report on ways the government can prevent hacking. Trump denounced news reports that Russia is holding on to secret personal and financial information that could embarrass him. The reports also alleged that his campaign had made contact with Russian intelligence officials. "I think it's a disgrace," Trump said. "It's all fake news." The unproven information in the news report was reportedly included in a secret U.S. intelligence report on Russian influence in the election. Copies of that report were given last week to Trump, President Barack Obama, and leaders of Congress. During the press conference, Trump also announced how he planned to deal with his business interests during his presidency. The president-elect has promised that his business activities would not pose a conflict of interest while he serves as president. One of his lawyers explained that Trump had decided to give up control of his company to his two sons and another executive. His business assets will be put into a trust, and Trump will take other steps to keep separate from his businesses, the lawyer said. Trump was asked whether he is backing away from his pledge to have Mexico pay for a wall along the southern U.S. border. He said Mexico will pay for the wall by reimbursing the United States. On his pledge to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, signed into law by President Obama, Trump promised to quickly replace it. He said his goal was to have a new, better health care law in place when the current law, often called Obamacare, is ended. When asked about the Supreme Court, Trump said he will likely name his choice to replace Justice Antonin Scalia within 2 weeks of the inauguration.
In his final speech as president, Barack Obama said he is more hopeful now than when he was first elected. He called for unity and for all Americans to stay involved in the country's democracy. Obama went home to Chicago, Illinois, to give his last speech as president. Chicago was where his political career started more than 20 years ago. On Tuesday night, he spoke to thousands of supporters. Obama took a look back on his 8 years as president. He said the United States is a better, stronger place than when he took office in 2009. People cheered as he listed some of the things his administration has done. Recognizing the current political divide in the country, Obama urged Americans to seek common ground with one another. He said that while democracy does not require uniformity, it does require a basic sense of solidarity. Barack Obama is the first African American to serve as President of the United States. After his election, there was talk of a post-racial America, one where race is not important. But Obama said race is still a potent and often divisive force, meaning that it is still a strong issue and one that divides people. The president warned that the nation faces threats to democracy, such as issues of economic and racial inequality. Obama said the United States has to guard against weakening its values because of fear. One of the loudest cheers he received was when he said he rejects discrimination against Muslim Americans. The president said he is more hopeful about the country now than when he took office. He called on Americans to stay involved in the democratic process. In less than 2 weeks, Trump will be sworn in as president, and Barack Obama will return to being a private citizen. Obama says he will stay involved as a citizen. He plans to stay in Washington while his youngest daughter finishes high school. I'm Ann Ball. Thank you.
Secretary of State John Kerry will join world leaders at a conference in Paris on Sunday. The conference is to be one of Kerry's last missions as U.S. Secretary of State. Kerry will try to save what is known as the two-state solution. The two-state solution refers to a political deal in which Israel and a Palestinian state exist next to each other. Many experts believe that the possibility of a two-state solution is disappearing. Neither Israeli officials nor Palestinian representatives will attend the Paris conference. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his supporters in Washington are concerned about the conference. Last month, the United States allowed the passage of a United Nations Security Council resolution that was critical of Israel. Resolution 2334 demands an end to Israeli settlements. It calls these settlements a violation under international law. The United States has blocked similar resolutions in the past. Kerry explained the action in a speech on December 28. He said, "We cannot properly defend and protect Israel if we allow a viable two-state solution to be destroyed before our own eyes." Israel worries the resolution could help the boycott, divestment, sanctions, or BDS movement, which aims to put economic pressure on Israel. Last week, the House of Representatives voted to condemn Resolution 2334. Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Ed Royce said this action was, in part, to head off any more moves the Obama administration might have in the next few days. To head off means to stop something from happening. The Netanyahu government and its supporters still worry that during his remaining days in office, U.S. President Barack Obama might take some action related to the two-state issue. They are concerned he might formally declare recognition of a Palestinian state or support a French resolution in the UN Security Council that declares two states. Ron Campius is the Washington bureau chief for the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. He says he thinks such an action by the Obama administration is not likely. President-elect Donald Trump made it clear that he differs from the Obama administration on American policy toward Israel. After Resolution 2334 passed, for example, Trump wrote on Twitter, "As to the UN, things will be different after January 20th. David Friedman, Trump's choice for ambassador to Israel, supports Israeli settlements. He has also said he opposes the two-state solution. Uri Sevier is an Israeli diplomat. He also established the Peres Center for Peace. He said a person inside the Palestinian Liberation Organization, or PLO, who did not want to be identified, described a new Palestinian plan. Sevier wrote that PLO officials have developed a plan for a temporary agreement. The agreement would establish a Palestinian state until permanent negotiations could be launched a year from now. Michelle Dunn is director of the Middle East program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She says this proposal probably does not interest the Israeli government. The Palestinians are not unified, she said. So even if the current Palestinian Authority leadership were to accept an initiative like this, many in Israel and elsewhere would say, well, the Palestinian Authority doesn't represent that many people anyway. Dunn says the proposal sounds like an attempt to keep the two-state solution alive. I'm John Russell.
Minerals are important elements for keeping the human body healthy. Minerals are necessary for life-saving medicines. They are also useful in cutting-edge medical equipment. Minerals and their uses are the subject of an exhibition at the National Institutes of Health Clinical Center in Washington, D.C. The Clinical Center worked in partnership with the Smithsonian Institution's Museum of Natural History to tell the story of minerals in medicine. Visitors to the exhibit will see 40 minerals that look as if they could be used in costly jewelry. But these minerals are much more important than that. The show is called Minerals in Medicine. It explains how minerals dug up from the earth make a big difference in human health, medicines, and treatment. John Gallen is director of the NIH Clinical Center. He says minerals are important not only for good health, but also for treatments that keep us healthy.
Each mineral has a different role. Some are important as antibiotics, such as silver. Some are important in carrying certain proteins from one place to another, such as copper. Some are important in our teeth health, such as fluoride. They have different functions, and that's what makes them so magical.
He adds that these minerals are necessary for medical equipment used in healthcare centers around the world.
For example, beryl, which is a beautiful crystal, is very important in our imaging equipment for high-resolution imaging, such as in CT scans and in breast mammography.
So this is the source of the CT, computed tomography.
That was Les Folio, a radiologist working at the National Institutes of Health. He notes that other minerals are also required in imaging devices.
These are resultant CT images, getting us three-dimensional information. We can see the lungs, the abdominal organs, and these green areas are lymph nodes from a metastatic cancer. And the CT picks those out beautifully, thanks to the minerals on the exhibit.
Most gypsum comes from Spain. This mineral has long been used in dentistry, the study, prevention, and treatment of diseases of the mouth. Robert Range is a dentist at NIH.
The gypsum in this case is a stone that is being used to create the mold of the patient's gum tissue and teeth.
The 40 minerals in the exhibit are on loan from the National Museum of Natural History. The exhibit is part of an ongoing arts exhibition at the Clinical Center. John Gallen says that art can have an effect on a person's health, and he considers looking at beautiful minerals as a form of art.
The impact of art on health is very intriguing, probably very important. And art can be paintings, it can be music, as well as looking at things like crystals and minerals. It makes people smile, it makes them feel better.
Gallen says he hopes visitors can begin to understand the importance of minerals in their health and well-being. I'm Anna Mateo.
This is what's trending today. Barack Obama gave his final speech as President of the United States on Tuesday night. His final day in office is Friday, January 20th. That is the day that Donald Trump will be sworn in as America's 45th president. The Obama family plans to continue living in Washington, D.C., while younger daughter Sasha finishes high school. But what will the former president do with his time? Some observers think Obama will get to work helping the Democratic Party find new candidates who can win local elections in 2018. Obama said in 2015 that he might go back to working on issues similar to those he worked on before he got involved in politics. Before he became a state senator in Illinois, he helped poor communities in Chicago. But in case Obama changes his mind, the popular music streaming service Spotify seems to have a job for him. The music service published a job posting on Monday for a president of playlists. Some of the requirements for the job are very specific. Obama is likely the only person in the world who is qualified for the job. The job requirements include having had singer Kendrick Lamar perform at a birthday party. Lamar, Obama, and Janelle Monáe all sang Happy Birthday to Obama's daughter Malia in 2016. Another requirement is 8 years of running a highly regarded nation. Spotify also says the applicants must have a Nobel Peace Prize. The listing also mentions being one of the greatest speakers of all time. Many people enjoyed Obama's summer music playlists he created last August. His playlists included artists like Miles Davis, Aloe Black, and Leon Bridges. The founder of Spotify is Daniel Ek of Sweden. He tweeted the job listing on Monday. He wrote, "Hey, Barack Obama, I heard you were interested in a role at Spotify. Have you seen this one?" The message was liked and retweeted almost 20,000 times. One person said she would sign up for Spotify if Obama came to work for the service. And many people said they would happily take the job if Obama were not interested. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
If one of your goals in 2017 is an emptier email inbox, we know a way to help. There is a simple way to end subscriptions to email lists that can send multiple messages every day. Unwanted emails from these sources can fill your inbox quickly and waste your time. But there are tools available to block such mail forever. You can simply unsubscribe from emails by clicking the unsubscribe link. Many emails come with this link at the bottom of the message. Often it is difficult to find. It might be hidden in small print or a light color. Unroll.me is a free website that lets users unsubscribe from email lists easily. Sign up for an account and link your email address. You will need to give Unroll.me permission to view and manage your emails and your contacts. Unroll.me works with Outlook.com, Gmail, Google Apps, Yahoo Mail, AOL Mail, and iCloud. Unroll.me will find subscription emails in your inbox and list them at their website. You can click which ones you no longer wish to receive and unsubscribe from them. If you want an emptier inbox but still want to receive some subscription emails, Unroll.me can help. Subscriptions can be added to an Unroll.me digest called a roll-up. It will be emailed to you daily. This digest arrives in your email inbox once a day and is filled with the subscription notices you have received within the past day. For example, instead of receiving 29 email messages in a day, you could receive one, the roll-up from Unroll.me, with 29 notices in the message. Click on any of the notices to read the full subscription email message. Daily roll-up digests are also available at the Unroll.me website, where they can be organized by subject, like shopping, travel, news, etc. Unroll.me also has an app for iPhone and iPad to unsubscribe and view and manage your roll-up. Google has added a feature to Gmail to make unsubscribing easier. Now, instead of having to hunt for the unsubscribe link, you can find it at the top of Gmail messages. When Gmail finds an unsubscribe link in an email message, it adds the link to the top of the message so you can find it more easily. Click on unsubscribe and a confirmation message will appear. Confirm that you want to unsubscribe. You will then be taken to the unsubscribe page of the sender or receive a notice from Gmail that you should be unsubscribed. The operating system for iPhone and iPad, iOS 10, has added a feature to the Mail app that makes unsubscribing from email lists easier. When the Mail app finds an email message is from a subscription service, the message will show a notice that says, "This message is from a mailing list." An unsubscribe link will be added to the top of the email message. Tap unsubscribe to remove your email address from the subscription list. You can also tap the X on the right side of the notification to remove it. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.